The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 27th through Sunday, May 3rd, 2026. The commentary for April was written by Katie Nakamura, who is an Episcopal priest in the Diocese of Alabama and has served in a variety of church contexts, most recently as the presiding bishop's staff officer for church planting. And she can often be found with her running group playing the flute and singing or spending time with her husband and two daughters. Now, the commentary for May was written by Porter Taylor, a lifelong Episcopalian who served as the sixth bishop of the Diocese of Western North Carolina. He is the author of three books, including his latest, Are You Persuaded? In and out of being a bishop, he is married to Joe, and they live in Asheville, North Carolina. The commentary for Monday, April 27th, begins with a passage from the book of Colossians in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it, as done for the Lord and not for your masters. When do ordinary things become extraordinary? Well, Zita of Tuscany, the patron saint whom we celebrate and commemorate this day, is the patron saint of domestic workers. It is said that starting at the age of 12, she served for 48 years in the home of a wealthy Italian family. Her presents and gifts were so valuable to her employer that she earned the privilege of setting her schedule and priorities. She was able to extend her reach outside the immediate household to care also for the poor, the sick, and people in prison. Zita reminds me that success is not about status or title. Success is about impact. There is no escaping the ordinary tasks, including the ordinary work that has to be done each day. But these actions become extraordinary when we can do them in a way that positively impacts the lives of our fellow human beings, inside and outside of our own household. We can offer patience for a restaurant worker, generosity to a teacher, kindness on social media. Though seemingly small, such graces make a big difference. And now I'm going to read the full passage for today from Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 6. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is your acceptable duty in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, or they may lose heart. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only while being watched and in order to please them, but wholeheartedly fearing the Lord. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it, as done for the Lord and not for your masters. Since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you serve the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong has been done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, for you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. And the moving forward suggestion for this day, and a question as well, research the life of Zita of Tuscany. What other lessons might you learn from her witness? The commentary for Tuesday, April 28th, begins with a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. One morning at my church's outdoor breakfast ministry, a man revealed that he had colon cancer. He had 6 months or so to live, he said. One of our unhoused friends, who was also being treated for cancer, overheard the words. "Hey man, you can't kill a child of God," he proclaimed. J.R. knew that one of our clergy friends had also recently been diagnosed with breast cancer, and so he offered a prayer on the spot for everyone suffering from any kind of illness. I tell you this as a reminder that witnessing to God's love and offering prayer aloud are things that are not limited to church buildings and professional pastors. Paul praises the Thessalonians for rendering him redundant. As they have already been proclaiming Jesus to their friends and neighbors, there is no need for Paul to get up and preach an official fancy sermon. God has put hope in all our hearts. No matter who you are or what qualifications you have or don't have, look for opportunities to share that hope. Our world needs to hear it. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that He has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we prove to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. And the moving forward suggestion for this Tuesday, April 28th, is look for the opportunity to share hope today. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, April 29th, the day on which we commemorate Catherine of Siena. We begin with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your love. Instruct me in your statutes. The poet Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God." Our psalmist says, "The earth is full of your love." Both make a simple yet astonishing claim. The reality of God is fundamental to and manifest in the world around us, if only we pay enough attention to it. In this modern age of screens and a culture of declining social engagement, I find it increasingly difficult to appreciate the grandeur and steadfast love of God. I am too busy checking my email or the 24-hour news cycle to pay attention to the action of God right next to me. The kind lady checking out my groceries, the smell of wisteria wafting down from the trees, the child trying to tell me a story, and yet to slow down and notice this ever-presence of God in all things and people is the beginning of discipleship. Once we've noticed, we can then say, "Instruct me in your statutes." And now I'm going to read the Psalm 119 from verses 49 through 72. "Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my distress, that your promise gives me life. The arrogant utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your ordinances from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, those who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs, wherever I make my home. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, for I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I implore your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of your ways, I turn my feet to your decrees. I hurry and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was humbled, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their hearts are fat and gross, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was humbled, so that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, April 29th, is, first, take a moment to look around. What sign of God's presence do you see? The commentary for Thursday, April 30th, begins with a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Yes, you are our glory and joy." During his journeys, the Apostle Paul visited the Christian community of Thessalonica on several occasions, and even after his departure, he continued to walk with them from afar, writing them letters of instruction and encouragement. He gives thanks for their relationship, joyously referring to them as glory and joy. I served on a ministry team with whom I met once a week for over 5 years. We started each meeting with a question such as, "Where are you experiencing joy today? What is coming to an end for you this season? What is a new possibility the Spirit is suggesting to you?" As we worked together, I realized my team was doing something far more profound than breaking the ice. We were walking alongside one another in faith. We encouraged one another to stay strong and suggested ways the Spirit might be seeking to guide our individual ministries and our ministry together as a team. Faithful Christians need God and prayer, but we also need companions on the journey. And now I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 20. "We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you, believers. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same things from your own compatriots as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They displease God and oppose everyone by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. Thus they have constantly been filling up the measure of their sins. But God's wrath has overtaken them at last. Ask for us, brothers and sisters, when for a short time we were made orphans by being separated from you, in person, not in heart. We longed with great eagerness to see you face to face. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, wanted to again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Yes, you are our glory and our joy." And the moving forward question and suggestion for this day is for you to ask others, where are you experiencing joy today? Now we turn the calendar to a new month, to Friday, May 1st, the day on which we commemorate the apostles St. Philip and St. James. The commentary begins with a passage from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 through 21. "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Often it seems people think of grace and mercy as a means of getting off the hook, as a free pass from the punishment they deserve for a wrong act committed. Well, certainly God's love beckons us to stop going against God's commandments. At the same time, one interpretation of the words grace and mercy is to go beyond the mind you have. God's deep desire for us is to be the people we are created to be. "I am a grateful, sober alcoholic. The only time I heard God speak to me was when I stopped drinking and God said, 'You are more than this.'" That's the voice of mercy. That's the voice of grace. God's grace and mercy not only direct us to the way, But more importantly, they assure us that God is equipping us to walk this divine path. When I stopped drinking alcohol, I became more of my true self and heard God say, "This is the way. Walk in it." And now I'll read the full passage from Isaiah 30, verses 18 through 21. "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Truly, O people in Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself any more, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" And the moving forward question for this Friday, May 1st, is what things are God calling you to let go of or to embrace? The commentary for Saturday, May 2nd, the day on which we commemorate Athanasius of Alexandria, the commentary begins with a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. "For God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness." I came across St. Athanasius during my seminary studies. I was taking a class on Anglican theology, and we had to write about the Trinity. I've always believed in the Trinity, but never really understood it. It's one of those things that makes sense in the classroom, but not so much in the everyday world. How can God be three in one? In his creed found in the back of the Book of Common Prayer, St. Athanasius writes, "And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance." Then he goes on to write, "The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. But there are not three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible." For me, Athanasius's words provide comfort that belief is beyond understanding. Indeed, I think if I understood God, it would not be God, but simply a projection of myself. So I am happy to worship an incomprehensible but fully loving God. And now I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. "Finally, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, as in fact you are doing, you should do so more and more. For you know what instructions he gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one wrong or exploit a brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, just as we have already told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever rejects this rejects not human authority, but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, concerning love of the brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do love all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, beloved, to do more, so much more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we directed you, so that you may behave properly toward outsiders and be dependent on no one. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, can you let go of your need to comprehend God fully? Now, as we near the end of the week and the end of this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, May 3rd, the fifth Sunday of Easter. It begins with a passage from John chapter 14, verse 14. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. We live in a world of change, and the more complex our gizmos are, the more change enters our lives. However, at some point, there's a fear that something is being lost as the change quickens. So it is with the disciples in today's gospel reading. They seem to be worried and incensed that a change is about to occur. Jesus offers blessed assurance. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Sometimes we forget how solid and steady love is. Of course, when our loved ones die, we grieve our loss. If you love, you will weep. Even Jesus did. However, when you love, you discover that love is stronger than death. My father was the vice president of a sweater company. When he died, I inherited a box of his old sweaters. When I smelled one of them for a moment, the world here and beyond met. Because love never dies. If it is so with our family, how much deeper is it so with God? And the moving forward question for this Sunday, May 3rd, in times of trouble, how can we remember God? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.